maybe more appropriate for students that have a little more of an idea what kind of enterprise or what kind of career they're thinking of pursuing once they're finished school. I want to talk a little bit about the pros and cons of getting into the trades, the process of that you might use to get into the trades. We'll talk a little bit about educational requirements and also about government assistance that's available. As far as advantages for getting into the trades, they're ideally suited for those people who like to work with their hands. Many of you will find students that really do very well working at tasks as opposed to studying. People get an awful lot of, they get a great sense of satisfaction out of the things they're able to achieve doing things with their hands. And there's such a great variety of things that can be done in the trades. Even within a specific individual trade, there's a whole lot of variety in the kinds of things that you can do. There's a lot of opportunity there, and we need strong leaders in the trades as well. Many people are out there doing the grunt work, building the houses. But there are also many people who can take leadership positions by adopting new innovative technologies and meeting the needs, new needs that haven't been noticed before, and they're coming up with innovative methods of meeting these needs. So people who are bright young people who maybe haven't been so good at the academics, they can often be very successful here. The demand for tradesmen is very, very high here in Alberta especially, and there are many, many opportunities now for women as well in the trades. We see now women who are getting into construction and the heavy trades as well. There are many machines that help make their tradesmen's work easier, and I guess now they're more appropriate for women. Training in the trades is very compatible with the homeschooling experience. You can be very flexible with your time, and it opens up many opportunities for your students that aren't available for students that are in the schools. There is a danger there. It's easy for your students, I guess, in some ways to be taken advantage of because of their availability. And you as parents have to be very careful that we're meeting the needs of the student and not just the needs of the employer. There are many, many opportunities for training and mentorship. And again, because you're homeschooled, you have the freedom to take advantage of individual opportunities as they present themselves. And often there might be just a few days at a time, or maybe a week or two at a time, or a harvesting season, there are so many opportunities that are available to you as a homeschooled student because you have the freedom to take advantage of that opportunity because you don't have the time constraints that go along with being in school. Homeschoolers are in strong demand because they're appreciated for their work ethic and for their ability to work independently and for their ability to work without supervision. Homeschoolers are often found to be very confident, that they have strong interpersonal skills, especially relating to other age groups. Within the trades, there's great opportunity for entrepreneurship. And along with that comes being your own boss. There are many tax advantages. You benefit directly from your hard work, your energy, your ambition, your ability to apply yourself to a task, especially if you're a strongly self-motivated person. And we'll often find that our young students are if they aren't really able academically, boy, they can sure get a lot done. You know, they can apply themselves to a task. Some of the disadvantages, working in the trades, you're often exposed or sometimes exposed to health risks that you wouldn't otherwise be exposed to. So you need to be health conscious and you have to make it a priority to protect yourself. There are always guidelines and equipment and procedures available, but you have to have the right mindset to minimize the health risks. There are, you know, the physical demands of many of the trades, not all of them, but many of the trades are considerable, and they're difficult as the student, as a tradesman ages. So when you get a little older, when you get up into your 50s and whatnot, some of these trades are considerably more difficult. There's an issue with pay equity, especially if you're working at an hourly rate. Everyone in the trades tends to be paid very much the same. With being an entrepreneur, you can take advantage of your ability to work hard and maybe your ability to use innovative techniques and your own personal strengths to overcome this pay equity issue. There are also financial hardships, attending an institute without an income, especially if you've started a family. When you're first beginning, it usually isn't so much of a problem because you can often live at home, or if you're just single, you know, it doesn't take nearly as much money to support yourself. But once you have a family, that's a considerable burden. But now there are incentives and programs to help you through that. Some of the trades, at least, are a little more susceptible to downturns in the economy. Again, if you're an entrepreneur, you'll likely still always be able to keep yourself busy. So there's another advantage there of being an entrepreneur. I'd like to talk a little bit about getting into the trades. The best source of information, I think, for most is tradesecrets.gov.ab.ca or tradesecrets.org. And you go to trades and occupations. And here you can find, it's up in the upper left-hand corner of the webpage, there's all kinds of information relating to this field. You know, working conditions, the length of the program, the hours of work, the weeks of education, the topics to be covered when you're studying at SAIT or NAIT or whatever. It also gives apprenticeship and training requirements, the education requirements, primarily for those that are in the school system. You know, it lists all the courses that you might need. You might need Math 10 or Math 20 or Math 30 and English 20 or 30 or whatever they might be. And these refer primarily to students that are in the school system. For students that are not in the school system, there are alternatives, and I'll talk about that in a second. The Department of Alberta Apprenticeship and Industry Training Offices, there are 12 throughout the province. They're an excellent source of information for you. They're very encouraging. They will help you through all kinds of difficulties, and they just have a wealth of information to help you. And they're the people who handle the registration for the apprenticeship programs. The process here, I think it's important, as has been discussed before, to approach this with prayer. Pray for discernment and direction, and that God bless your effort. Take a look at the student's strengths and weaknesses. We aren't all the same. Try to put together a portfolio documenting the kinds of things that your student enjoys, the kinds of things that he's good at, the wide variety of things that he's been involved in, you know, ever since he began working with Lego, perhaps, you know. All the things that your student has been involved in from the time he was a little child indicate some of his strengths, the areas where he's the types of activities that he's likely to be good at. And it can show how busy he is, you know, how much he likes getting involved, how eager he is to work on a task. Get him to explain the kinds of things that he's been doing to others. This is great training for an interview. Have him, identify opportunities, or you can, with him, you can identify opportunities, and that maybe through your friends or your family or business associates, opportunities that might, give him a wide variety of work experience. And you can make many contacts this way. I think it might be a good idea to spend a day or two going out with your student, just driving around the city or out in the country, and take a look at all the different occupations that there are out there. And talk about what it might be like to work as this type of person or that type of person in this trade or that trade. And just to get a little better idea of what's all out there. Once you find an employer, which needs to be a legal business to take on the student, someone who's willing to take you on as an apprentice, you go into Alberta Apprenticeship and Industry Training. You sign up as an apprentice or as a RAP, a Registered Apprenticeship Program student. And they're the ones who handle the registration, and they will give you a book, a log book, in which you record your hours. And you, I'm sorry, I got off track here. As far as the educational requirements to get into the trade, they're clearly spelled out. If you don't meet the requirements, if you haven't been following the Alberta programs, you must simply pass the entrance exam. Each of the trades is grouped into one of five clusters, and they each have different requirements. If you go to that website, there is an entrance exam counseling sheet, which gives a list of all the different trades and which of those five clusters they fit into. You can go to a study guide that has, a whole number of questions. Each of the questions is assigned to one of those clusters. If you're interested in a trade that falls into cluster four, you need to be able to answer the questions that pertain to cluster 1, 2, 3, and 4. Once you feel that you can do a good job of writing the entrance exam, you go down to the Apprenticeship and Industry Training office and ask them when they'll be writing the next test. And then you can go in and write the test, and it's free. And you can write it as often as you like. Once you get, once you're able to get 70% on that test, you qualify to get into a training program. Okay, now there are a few government assistance programs. The Alberta government and the federal government both have their own individual programs. The Alberta has its student finance program. It's a needs-based program, and there's available anywhere from $500 to $5,000 per year, depending on your needs. The needs are going to be different for, say, a young student who's living at home just out of high school compared to maybe a single mom who might have to travel 200-300 kilometers to be involved in a training program. The programs are designed to top up the employment insurance benefits, and you're not applying, you're applying under a different program. You're applying with a training claim instead of a regular unemployment situation, and you don't have to wait the 6 or 8 weeks or whatever it is that's normally required. And the benefits range from $1,200 to $1,400 a month. to top up the employment insurance programs. Check with apprenticeship and industry training for eligibility. You must apply, in this case, 6 weeks prior to your training, your technical training program. There are also federal apprenticeship and incentive grants that are, you can get $1,000 a year for each of your first 2 years of training, which includes the hours that are necessary, the time, the number of months that's necessary to complete your training, your hours, and then also the technical training as well. Once you pass the test for your first year, you can apply for this grant, and it's an outright grant. It doesn't have to be repaid. Okay, I think I'm probably a little over here. It's time for a break. You'll be able to ask me questions at the back. Thank you.
Well, we bit 5 minutes into the break time, but please be back in your seats at 11 o'clock. So that gives you 20.